Chapter 13. Sight. Usopp and Zoro. His mother was a Tengu and his father a feathered seer, so Usopp sees a lot of things. More than most, actually. His mother told him his father could as well. That was his nature. But Usopp doubts the man could have ever seen the world this brightly, see this golden path fading in and out of existence every moment. If he had been able to see it, why did he leave? Couldn't he see the life draining drop by drop along fevered cheeks from his wife? Couldn't he see the way her feathers, black, glossy, and beautiful, wilted more with every day that went past? Or he had been able to see it, and instead of his family, chose to chase the beautiful sight of the horizon, which danced with every step and promised 1,000 worlds to explore. Usopp sees the horizon and fears, knows, he will one day leave to conquer those 1,000 unending sunny days. Usopp sees a lot, you see. The world to him is like a painting painted over 1,000 other paintings. But he's able to see each one as he scratches at the layers like one would at peeling wood with his sight. He sees the past and future and present, sees the paths of each person if he chooses to, and knows how the world will end and begin. And yet, there is still so much he doesn't see. Shrouded in shadow and dark thoughts. He sees more than others, but not all. The limits to his powers are as blurred as they come. Paths are always missing around Luffy. There are only ever two, twisting around each other in a dizzying dance, and Usopp is content to follow the one his captain chooses, or doesn't in most cases. Usopp loves it. Loves when his eyes grow hazy and he sees distant warriors of lands of other existences, fighting giants and snakes and goldfish the size of his island. Loves when he sees a king with an aim straight and true, from an island far away. Loves when he can tell Kaya, his friends, his crew, all of these things. He loves it when he sees images of his mother, the stories of her life that she will never tell him. Yasop did not fall in love with the woman lying weak, dead, in bed, though he does love her still. He fell in love with a warrior, a trickster, a woman with 1,000 silver tongues and a rage against the world that traps her. She was once the guardian of this isle, the reason she never followed her husband to the sea. The point is, he sees a lot. And it's probably from his father, the one thing left behind by the man. It aids him in his talents. He sees the other realms, the other planes, and tells stories from them. He sees how they shift and adjusts his shots accordingly. He sees the future, so he lies to save it. And he is glad for it. However, just because he can see through all the planes of existence doesn't mean he can walk through them to find a directionless swordsman who can walk through all of them by his own ability to get lost so badly that he jumps through realms. He hates Zoro duty. Zoro! Usopp calls, irritated beyond belief. Where the hell are you? Of course, there's no answer. He expects nothing less, even if his voice echoes through 1,000 different planes. His crewmate is as stubborn as they come, with their captain being the only one who could possibly beat him, and he tends not to listen to directions or respond when they're given. Hence the need for someone to be on Zoro duty, making sure the swordsman doesn't get too lost. Usopp is beginning to wonder if Zoro even knows how directions work, because to the swordsman, north is up, as in up to the sky, and sometimes to the next plane. Usopp's never actually been in those other existences, but occasionally he'll ask Zoro what it's like. It's one of the few times where Zoro actually attempts to describe something well. Of course, it's not much. The air felt weird. Or, it felt like I was falling. Or even, the chocolate smell was everywhere. What the hell? But it's enough that he tries. But he does have to wonder if Zoro actually recognizes that he's in a different realm. He doesn't seem to think he gets lost at any rate. He remembers the first time Zoro got lost in front of Usopp. A moment there, the next gone, terrifying in a single instant. Zoro had reappeared after taking a single step, 5 paces away, turning to Usopp, saying, "Where were you? And it's been 5 hours." It's completely bizarre how time seems to flow around him. He's like Luffy in a way, so stubborn and headstrong, not even silly things like fate and destiny and the laws of physics and time can tie him down. Which is why, again, Usopp hates Zoro duty. Because there's always a chance he's going to find Zoro bleeding out after a long search, or find a horrific monster attacking him with Zoro just smirking, or Zoro aged 100 years, or Zoro starting another international conflict, or even worse, Zoro actually drunk. There's a snap to his left and a low curse, said in familiar tones, with an even odder tone of 3 voices speaking at once, only audible to Usopp and a few others. Those who know a demon's true presence, which means, "Finally! Zoro! Zoro!" Usopp repeats aloud, rushing through the greenery. "Finally!" he thinks, elatedly, before his foot steps on something wet and burning. Blood? Boiling blood? He steps back, ready to give a comical wail. He's suffered far worse. When he notices exactly what is in front of him. "Oh, sweet child." The voice is soft and slithering, as one would expect from a mass of darkness standing in front of their bleeding swordsman. It shifts and swirls with unnatural ease, like bones sticking out of skin and being crunched underfoot. It doesn't belong. Even if he didn't have sight, he could have seen it. The way reality bends around the thing strikes shivers up his spine. Usopp's reminded of Thriller Bark in that moment, watching the gigantean shadows of the fog fade in and out of existence as if they never were at all. So very, airy wrong. And Zoro's getting ready to fight the thing. There's something unnatural in his eyes, something unknowing and lost in a way Zoro isn't typically. Like he's remembering something, being lured to something, something monstrous from his past, like a temptation he never had the chance to take before. "Stop!" Usopp shouts, suddenly terrified and full of rage all at once in a beautiful cacophony of emotions. Because this thing, this horrible beast from elsewhere has taken advantage of his nakama, of Zoro, of how he doesn't know how to differ between planes like Usopp does, how he doesn't see the paths the world takes. Only one, the path to the top, world's greatest swordsman. And he will get lost and hurt and no. Usopp will not allow that to happen. "Zoro, stop!" he tries again. And this time the swordsman looks away from the beast, from the haunting vision between realms. "Usopp?" the green-haired swordsman mumbles around his sword, wild eyes searching for an explanation. In the moment of distraction, the being lunges, teeth snarling and rabid, but Usopp is ready. His mother was a Tengu, and his father was a feathered seer. This means that he sees more than most, and that his feathers will be as ink on paper, telling dark and true. It also means that Usopp was born to guide, to protect. Maybe he's too cowardly to be as great as his mother was at protecting. A warrior dressed in red with a terrible beast in front of her, slayed with tricks and weapons and the words of a protector. his mother. But he can do it when the need arises. He was surprised to learn that certain salts, depths of the ocean thrust into light, the kind from deep waters sunned upon rocks, burned outside of the east blue, like fire through his bones, the veil smoking away by its presence. Thriller Bark had taught him much, especially how to use this to his advantage. When the salt from his burning salt star hits the beast in the sliver of space, attaching it to the world beyond, a world that only Usopp can see, there's a wicked glow as it gives off an unholy wail, and the beast burns. Zoro looks mad as Usopp drags him away, but there's a light in his eyes that Usopp doesn't like, that makes Zoro's aura, the fatal, oppressing force felt at Enies Lobby that near consumed their swordsmen. The move, to that extent, was banned by their captain, but Zoro still likes to stretch his limbs and scare their enemies with its essence, grow and darken around him, give faint images of deathless gods about him that Usopp does not like. "Hey, Zoro," he says, trying to rein their swordsmen back in. "This realm, whatever you saw, it wasn't here." He can't say it isn't real, that whatever Zoro saw in the beast doesn't exist, because Usopp can see 1,000 worlds, and Zoro can step through them, meaning it could be real. "Yeah, yeah," Zoro says, voice uncharacteristically small and distant. "Not here." "Not here," Usopp agrees. He doesn't know what kind of creature Zoro is, doesn't know what tethers keep him with Usopp and Luffy and the rest of the crew, doesn't know what aura, dark and horrendous, finds its place in his friend's bosom. But hell if he won't make sure Zoro stays here. It's quiet on the way back to the ship, but Usopp keeps a tight lock on Zoro's shirt. His teeth are sharp and his feathers ruffled, and Zoro's eyes are still far away. But he's mostly sure whatever was dragging Zoro to there is gone now. He's not taking chances. It's tripled, like it comes from 3 different sources, when Zoro speaks again. But when Usopp looks back, there is only sincerity in his voice. "Thanks, Usopp." And finally, their swordsman isn't lost in his head anymore. Usopp can see that as clear as he can see 1,000,000 other worlds, and his friend's path to the top of this world.